Amen. So we bless our nation, bless our celebrations this week as we celebrate the 4th of July. Amen. So let's pray today. Father, thank you for your presence, Lord, and thank you that you're our Father. And we thank you, Lord, that you just teach us today, Holy Spirit. You're our teacher. We just gather our thoughts and focus on you, Lord. And we thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for our River of Life family, for friends and guests that are here today, Lord. We thank you, Father, for all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. True worshipers. John 4:23-24. Let's read this together. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. So our Father, our Heavenly Father, is looking for those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. And when we worship the Lord, we worship him according to his pattern. And his pattern is spirit and it's truth. The definition for worship in Christianity, worship is a reverent honor and homage paid to God. The New Testament uses various words to express the concept of worship. The word proskuneo, to worship, means to bow down to gods or to kings. It means to bow down. It actually means to get so close that you would kiss the hand. It's a very close encounter with our Heavenly Father. And so the Father is looking for those who will worship him. Jesus is the way. He's the truth. He's the light. He made a way for us to come to the Father. And when we get to the Father, we worship him. We bow before him. We humble ourselves before him. Every Sunday morning when we gather together, we worship the Lord. He's high and lifted up in this place. He's high and lifted up on our praises. He said, if I be high and lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. So you see, when we worship the Lord and we honor him and we give him that place of reverence in our life, he's high and lifted up above our situations, above our circumstances, above our problems. If we keep the Lord high and lifted up, we know that the Lord is going to take care of us. Hallelujah. He says the time is now. It's a right now time. It's this generation. It is this time that God has ordained for us to worship him. He's always ordained worship, but we've got to recognize that the scripture says the time is now. So we're alive right now. So tell your neighbor, your time is now. You know, we can't put this off. We can't put this off till tomorrow. The time is now. It's a right now time to worship the Lord. And true worshipers will worship in spirit and in truth. And that's our attitude. That's how we approach the Lord, in spirit and in truth. Both elements are essential if we want to get to the Father. Back in the 90s, when before we started the church, we taught worship every Tuesday night, face-to-face encounter with the Lord. And we wrote this paper. I found it this week. If your knowledge of God is limited, your worship of him will be limited also. There's a direct correlation between the knowledge of God and the worship of God. The more we know him, the more we'll worship him. And likewise, our ignorance will limit our worship. Amen. It's important that we never worship worship. Often people will just worship a certain song or a style of music or a praise team. Worship is a vehicle that God ordained for us to use to come into his presence, but music is not the worship. We worship him in spirit and in truth. It is a spirit-to-spirit connection with God. And the truth that we worship him in is the truth that comes from his word. So you see, if we don't know the word of God, our worship of God is limited. So it's important never to worship worship. The only reason worship exists is because God exists and has revealed himself to us. So don't worship the ritual of worship. Worship God. The more you know him, the more you'll love him, because knowing God is the foundation of worship. We worship him. And all that we do and all that we say, we're to worship him. Our lives, we live a lifestyle of worship. I love music. I love to come together and worship the Lord. And God interacts with us in those times. But we don't worship worship. And last night, got our last Sunday, and this Sunday too, I don't know if you felt the wave of the anointing just. It was up here. It was a strong wave. God's here. His anointing's here. You see, he's always present. I'm sorry, I think I skipped the picture that we had. Can you put that up? Don't just visit, dwell in the presence of God. We don't just visit, but we dwell there. But his presence is with us always. We're just not always aware because we're so tuned into other things, other distractions, that we're not aware of his presence. So, Holy Spirit, make us more aware. Help us. Is that what we sang this morning? Make us more aware of his presence. Because he's omnipresent. He's always with us. So, Lord, make us more aware of your presence. And so we worship the Lord. And I, as we have taught worship for years, I always encourage the worship team. Don't look back at what the last worship set was. Because sometimes a team will try to, or even a church will try to create that again. And the scripture says, if you set your hands to the plow and you look back, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. Well, that can be looking back at the world, but it can also be looking back and desiring something that God's already blessed us with. We've received from, and we are ready to receive again. You see, every time we come together, we're ready to receive what God has right now. You know, every Sunday you come to the River of Life and you're going to see a different mix of people. We have a core group that's here. But there is always a mix that comes in, and God knows what we need. So he has something special for today. So when I get up on Sunday morning, I'm excited to get here because God knows what we need. And God is going to grace us with his presence because we're following the elements of worship. We worship him in spirit. A spirit-to-spirit encounter. God is spirit. If you want to connect with God, it's a spiritual thing. And in truth. God's word is truth. And so those two elements together bring us into the presence of God. So number three says, if there is true worship, then there must be false worship. We worship the Father according to the truth that is in the scripture. A person can imagine Father God through their own intellect and reasoning. And so people formulate who they think God is in their mind based upon their experience and limited knowledge. And it's not who he is in the scripture. We can create our own God in our own heads. Do you know that? We can create a God that is, well, God is forgiving, but God has standards, doesn't he? His word sets forth standards. He said that no one, that sin can't come into his presence. And so do we sin? Yes. But when you have the Holy Spirit, he always convicts us and we repent of our sins and we're forgiven and the blood of Jesus washes us. But we can't keep doing the same sin over and over and over and over and over again and think that God's going to be lenient like your mom or dad was and let you get away with it, because God eventually will call you on the carpet. Because he loves us. He's a good father. You see, fathers discipline their children. And the scripture says it's not pleasant at the time. Nobody likes to be disciplined by their dad. Yeah, it hurts. You make it hurt. Father God makes it hurt in a different way. But when you love someone, you want to please them. And so we learn how to do that through God's word. And God will continually break our mindsets and our thought patterns that are contrary to who he is, if we will study his word. God wants to reveal himself, and he's always there when you get into the word. And that's why you'll hear it over and over again. Our number one thing at River of Life, number one on our vision statement, is for everyone that is in our church to have a personal relationship with Father God, to know who he is and to hear his voice. It's that personal one-on-one. We're not about religion. We are about relationship. It is relationship with the Father. It's not all these rituals. It's not all these tasks. But when you love someone and you know who they are, you want to do what they're asking you to do. It's a no-brainer, isn't it? When you love someone, you want to please them. All right, number four. The Father is searching for people to worship him. And he's searching for people who will worship him the way that he has laid out in the scripture. And this can only be done through the Spirit of revelation. God reveals himself through the Spirit of revelation. It's like the curtains get pulled back and you see something in a way that you've never seen it before. But it's been there all the time. But you see, the Spirit of revelation removes the curtain so that you can see it. I often think about when we go down to Florida, we like to stay in a place on the ocean, and the ocean's on the other side of that window, but you don't know that it's there until you pull open the curtains, and there it is. It's revealed, and that's what God does with us. He wants us to know him. He wants to reveal himself to us. And I believe that's why the Apostle Paul prayed for the church of Ephesus. And this was his prayer. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. That you may know what is the hope of his calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power? God wants to reveal himself. He's given me the spirit of wisdom. He's given me the spirit of revelation. My eyes are opened. You see, you begin to read the word of God and declare the word of God over yourself. And this applies when you're going through something and you're not sure what to do. Lord, your word says in Ephesians 1:17-19 that you have given me the spirit of wisdom You've given me the spirit of revelation in the knowledge of you. And Lord, you've opened my eyes of understanding. I'm enlightened by your spirit. Lord, show me the way. Teach me, Lord. I want to do your will. You know, when you tell the Father you want to do his will, he's not going to keep his will hidden from you. He will reveal himself to us. That's what worship is about. There's a mighty power that works on the inside of us. Mighty power. Mighty power that heals our eyes, right, Terry? Heals our bodies. A mighty power that puts relationships back together again. Thank you, Lord. So we worship when we're led by the Spirit of God. And let's go to Romans 8, 14 through 17. And that term of being led by the Spirit is not an excuse for you to do what you want to do. Now, we've heard that plenty of times. I feel led by the Spirit. Well, there is a leading of the Spirit. But it isn't to get your way, to do what you want to do. And you've got to know the difference, right? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Bishop Hammond said, if you feel led, then I suggest you take a pencil and feel led. And I'll pray with you about that. And we'll see if you still feel led. Yeah, he's funny. He just put it to you. Romans 8, 14 to 17. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Wow. Thank you, Lord, that we're sons of God. Each one of us are sons of God. You might be a female, but you're still a son of God. I posted Prophet Jim's teaching on our Facebook page this last Friday night. He taught on women in ministry, women in the church, and how God uses women. And he said, if you have a problem being a woman, then you need to listen to this. If you have a problem with women in ministry, then listen to this. Because God speaks and his word speaks. And Jesus had no problem with women being in his leadership. And, you know, when the men ran off, the women were still there. Because there's something that God gives to women, I believe, that absolutely hates the devil. He said he would put enmity between the woman's seed and the serpent. And so there is this warfare, mother bear spirit. Come on, ladies. You know what I'm talking about? That the devil had better not mess with our family, with our husbands, with our children. We just come out. That's right. It is. It's a good teaching. I encourage you. It's about the last 50 minutes of what was posted, but a really good teaching straight from the Word of God. Prophet Jim is a prophet. Judy is an apostle, his wife. And Bishop ordained them as such. And they both function in that office. In the office they're ordained to. And so he was sharing with us about a church that he went to in, was it Africa? Yeah, in Africa. He went to a church, huge conference, and he shared. They were guest speakers. He shared and said it was just a powerful conference, And it came time for Judy to share, so Judy got up and she shared. And the pastor of the church got up and left when Judy got up to preach. And he thought, well, that's really strange. And when Judy was all done, he came back in. Well, Jim began to inquire from his elders, and he said, well, the pastor here doesn't believe that women should preach in the church. And he said, you know, but this group of ministers that were working with them really wanted Jim and Judy to come, and they knew if you got Jim, then you get Judy. And so the conference went really great. Everything went fine. And at the end of the conference, they said to Jim and Judy, we really want to plan for you to come back next year, so can we book some dates? And Jim said, absolutely not. He said, not until you get that pastor in order. I will not bring my wife to this church because he dishonored me as much as he dishonored her when he got up and walked out. And I'm thinking, that doesn't just happen in Africa. That's happened here many, many times. The next year. Oh, yeah, the next year, they went ahead and booked dates. The next year, they got to the church, and that pastor went running up to them, asked Judy if he could take her bags. He escorted her up, set her down, and just served her all week, and was very, very gracious to her. And so Jim said, wow, they really got a hold of him. It was just a complete turnaround. But God uses us. We're all sons. There's neither male nor female in the kingdom of God. And you, the males, are the bride of Christ. Right? And so we think so much in male and female and in the natural. God doesn't think that way. That's not who God is. When we come into his kingdom, we're his sons. We're his children. We cry, Abba, Father. The Holy Spirit, the anointing that is poured out upon men, is the same anointing that is poured out upon women. It's the same anointing. Bishop often says there isn't a junior Holy Spirit that the kids get. It's the same Holy Spirit. We're all sons of God. So we worship him in spirit. We're led by the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God does lead us. And I pray he leads you every day, in every way, in every decision, in your life. He'll give us these unctions. He gives us these impressions that we need to pay attention to. Because when you don't pay attention to them, you think, oh, I wish I would have paid attention to that. I know God was speaking to me. And so the other aspect of spirit is the truth. And John 17:17 says, sanctify them by your truth. This is Jesus praying. Your word is truth. Worship is a spiritual thing. It's our spirit connecting with God's spirit. And worship led by the Holy Spirit will never go against his written word. So worship is a lifestyle. We have two more scriptures, and we're going to pray and close. Let's read Matthew 22:36-40. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And so when we go on, worship's a lifestyle. You can see that every aspect of your life is included in this commandment. Loving the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. That's every aspect of our life. And that demonstrates worship to those around us. And then worship's from the heart. If you love me, in John 14:16-18, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. So when we love the Lord, we keep his commandments. Worship comes from the heart. It's a heart decision. I'm going to love the Lord. And as we read this verse, we see that God sends the Spirit of truth. And then it says, whom the world cannot receive. So when you wonder why can't people see this? You know, it's just as plain as can be. Especially on issues in our culture right now. The issue of abortion and being able to take a baby's life after it's born. These kind of issues, you wonder, why can't they see this? It is so wrong. Have you ever said that? Have you ever talked back to the TV and say, that is so wrong? It's so wrong. But it's because the world cannot receive the Spirit of truth. It can't receive it because it can't see him and they don't know him. If we don't know him, then we have no idea about who he is, what he stands for, what he desires for every human being. They don't know him. Why don't they know him? Because they choose not to know him. Come on, you can choose not to know people. Is that right? We don't know everybody at Elkhart. You don't know everybody in Mishawaka, South Bend, Niles. You don't know everyone in your city. And some people that you would meet, you wouldn't even want to know them. I mean, that's the truth, isn't it? I mean, we're always concerned for a person's soul because we do not want anyone to perish, right? But that doesn't mean you want to hang out with them. I think I posted a saying that Apostle Leon had put up, that when the Lord delivers you from evil, don't continue to connect to him. You know, we pray that the Lord will deliver us from evil and then we still want to be friends with it. Run. Run. Well, let's all stand this morning. The Father, our Heavenly Father, is looking for people to worship him in spirit and in truth. And I'm going to ask praise team if they'll come on up. We are going to sing together, I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. You see, we can begin to worship objects, right? People worship objects. People worship movie stars. People can worship sports more than they worship the Lord. It doesn't hurt to have a favorite team. We enjoy watching sports. But you keep everything in the right place. You know, God wanted us to enjoy this life, to enjoy the fruit of our labor. In the book of Ecclesiastes, it says we should enjoy it. God wants to bless us. Enjoy what we have. Enjoy one another. Love our neighbor as ourselves. Take care of the body of Christ, those that are in your own household. Love them. Encourage them. Be there for them. Pray for them. And in that we worship him. Spirit to spirit. Lord, we open up to worship you this afternoon, Lord. Spirit to spirit. In spirit and in truth, Lord. Our spirit crying out for yours.